Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. We are transferring Epiphany to today, one of those things that we get to do when we want to. Epiphany is always on the 6th of January, so you only get to do it once every 7 years. It's kind of a fun theme. The manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles means we're all included, so we have decided to change that to today, so that will reflect in the readings. You'll hear about the wise men. Right now, our plan is to continue as we are with two services, small, socially distanced. That can change tomorrow with a government decision. That could change tomorrow with all kinds of different things. But for now, our plan is to continue to go ahead as we are. Keep an eye on our Facebook page and our website and call the office if you have questions or wish to get the latest information. So just so you're aware, that's where we feel we're going right now with this size of a space and this number of people. We feel that we can be very safe in social distancing and that we should be able to continue to gather. I do have a sad note today to pass on. Fred Pinkham, longtime member of St. James Westminster, passed away on the 17th of December. Arrangements have not yet been made, but I would ask you to keep Fred's family in your prayers. Let's all take a deep breath, still ourselves, let us worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal God, who by a star led wise men to the worship of your Son, guide by your light the nations of the earth, that the whole world may know your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the book of Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I might also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel reading for Epiphany is the story of the wise men. And even in the way we deliver the gospel on Epiphany about the wise men, we clean it up so it's more accessible, more acceptable to people. And I think that's wrong. I think that we have done a disservice for a long time by picking and choosing little bits of the Christmas story and putting out single stories. And then, of course, when we have a good nativity pageant, we have to put them all together as if they all happened on the same day in the same place, which they didn't. So what I want to do is walk you through the story of the Epiphany and how it came to be, and I'm not going to pull any punches. So there are three parts to this story. The first is Herod. Herod is a two-part story, and the people who put together the lectionary opted to not tell us the second part of the story. The next part of the story is, of course, the wise men, who they might be. How many there were, what they brought, those kinds of things. And then the third part of the story is to pick up what Paul talked about in Ephesians, which is really what the Epiphany is, that suddenly this is about everyone, not just one group of people. So Herod was not a nice person. Now, if you had never heard the gospel and didn't know who Herod was and came in today and listened, you would say, "Oh, what a nice man he was. He sent them off to the right place where they wanted to go." So let's deal with the part of Herod that we don't usually want to preach about. Herod's response to learning that the Savior had been born in Bethlehem, as predicted, was to order all the male children to be killed. Now, you're thinking that's a terrible thing, right? It is a terrible thing, but it is exactly the type of a person that Herod was. I read an interesting quote the other day, which has all kinds of implications as well, because Herod also executed a couple of his own kids, that it was safer to be Herod's pig than to be his offspring, with the prohibition against eating pork, of course. That says something about who Herod was. Now, from what I have been able to read, there is no historical evidence of a whole bunch of young boys being murdered in Bethlehem at that time. Just the same as there is no historical evidence that can be found that there was a census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria, which is Luke's part of the story. But then again, there isn't a whole lot of history, period. So I think we kind of argue to a draw as to what might have happened or may not have happened. But there's something that I want you to take from the Herod story. And that is to think that it's even possible that a ruler at that time could consider such a thing says something about the way of life that everyone lived in that time. So now the wise man. If you remember the old blue hymn book in the Anglican Church, we named them all. Worked really well. You know, I can remember oftentimes we would have three people selected to be the wise men and to sing the various parts. Again, making it this lovely, sanitized, wonderful story about these great rulers, these kings, important people who came to see Jesus. That's a really nice story. You didn't hear any of that in the gospel, though, which is the source of the three kings. Doesn't say there were three kings. It doesn't name them. In fact, it doesn't even call them kings. It calls them wise men. Now, there is some evidence that they could have been Zoroasters. Zoroastrianism is a religion that is based on reading the stars. Oh, that's probably how we decided that maybe the wise men were Zoroastrians, because they followed a star. We do know that they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all of which were appropriate gifts. Doesn't mean there were three. There could have been two, there could have been 12. They could have all brought multiple gifts. We don't know. What we do know is they didn't show up right after the shepherds left. In fact, it was at least a year. Which begs the question, at least for me, maybe it doesn't beg the question for you, but why were Mary and Joseph still in Bethlehem? If they just went to sign up in a census, you know, they just zipped down overnight, they had a baby and should have went back home, right? Well, I've forgotten, but the number 7 or 8 day ride is what is in my brain as to how long it would take them to have gotten there from Galilee. Anybody here want to think of a ride of 7, 8 days, either walking or on a donkey, 9 months pregnant? It's funny, all the women are going like this and the guys are going, I'm not sure, is that a trick question? So, to make it even worse, do you want to think about 2 or 3 days later getting back on the donkey and going back home? It makes total sense that they would stay. So the wise men followed a star. I'll leave you to figure out whether that was a star that God put in the sky or whether it was happenstance or coincidence or how it all worked. Just remember, the wise men of the time would have believed that the earth was flat, which would make a whole different understanding around what the stars were and how they worked. But doesn't preclude the idea, and I've read a couple of articles that talk about a star that would have been brighter in the sky at certain times. It could have been what led them. The most important thing is, what would lead them to want to go? We've all felt, I think, that little tug of the spirit that tells us to do something. And we say no. And then the next day we still feel like we should do it, and we say no. And 3 weeks later we're still saying no, and then we finally go and do it, and everything works out wonderfully. Obviously, this was a spiritual experience for them, to go and to see this child, and to not listen to Herod, to come back and tell him all about the child. So what does the story of the wise men bring to us that's different than Luke's story of the shepherds or John's very theological understanding of the coming of Christ? It provides us a couple of entrees, a couple of different ways in. I'm sitting here looking at Jim, who's a teacher, and I know he's going to agree with me on this because I'm putting him on the spot. But when you're a teacher, sometimes you try to teach a class one way and they just don't get it. So you have to find a different entree, a different way to go in. This account, based on some kind of fact, some kind of an event, as they all are, to make up the story, is a lovely complementary understanding. From the shepherds, who would have been despised, would have been outcasts, ne'er-do-wells. To the wise men, who represented not the locals, but coming from a distance away. Zoroastrianism was centered in North Africa, if I remember correctly. So it gives us that different understanding to the story. But what the story teaches us over and over and over and over again, and what we sometimes miss by the fact that we sanitize it to the point where it's just this beautiful nativity play which makes us all feel good, is the message of the Epiphany, the message of the wise men, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, is clearly saying all are welcome. Paul writes to the Ephesians, we heard Barb read it, that we used to think that God was centered in this group, but Paul's saying, I'm here to tell you, and I've been experienced and been called to lead in the group that includes the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Everybody else. Now, pretty big movement, because it went from no Christian church, the way, to the Christian church being the dominant church in the world, the dominant religion. And have we maybe acted like we are the dominant, the perfect, the ones? By accident or quirk or whatever you want to say, we also got to hear today a gospel from a month ago at the 8:30 service, which had the disciples saying, I want to be the most important. And Jesus saying, no. Jesus even saying, look, see all those big stones, all that stuff that you guys built? All gone. It's not what it's about. It's about being inclusive. We may have a nice church, great music. Nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, we have to be inclusive of everyone. Our job is not to look after our small group, but rather to welcome everyone. And that's a hard thing to do. We have been given, I think, I'll use my favorite line, my opinion and $2 will get you a cup of coffee at any Tim Hortons. I think what we have been given are hearts to love with. Of all the things that God has given us, that's the most important thing that we have been given. And as human beings, we try not to do what our hearts tell us. We use our brains, our heads sometimes, and we go in different ways to try and make this go our way. God gave us hearts to love with. And that's what we're called to do. If there's anything that we should take from the Epiphany, from the story of the Incarnation, the Nativity, it's that this bouncing little baby boy came so that all would love one another. And every time we fail, we just must redouble our efforts and remember that we have hearts to love with. Amen. As you're able, I invite you to stand. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Let Let us pray. We have met here in the real presence of our God. Let us pray to him now. Though we cannot see you, your love surrounds us. We bring to mind the worldwide Christian church, both leaders and people, as we begin another year. We look for a deeper awareness of your presence among us. Though we cannot see you, your love surrounds us. We bring to mind the troubled areas of our world where corruption, injustice, and violence ruin lives and damage self-worth. We ask for your renewing and cleansing. Though we cannot see you, we call to mind those we have spent time with over this Christmas season, the good and the challenging conversations, the joys and the aches of those we love. Though we cannot see you, we bring to mind all who live away from home, all refugees and all children in care. We ask for the security that only you can give. Though we cannot see you, we bring to mind all those on our prayer list. Dan Lemansky, Pat Collette, Bill Carswell, Diane Fuster, Anna Woodson, Sylvia Brightwell, and Chris Briglia. Though we cannot see you, we bring to mind those who have died recently and all who grieve for them, including Fred Pincombe. We ask for comfort to be given to the dying and all the assurance of your presence. Though we cannot see you, we bring to mind the risks you were prepared to take in becoming one of us out of love for us, and we offer you our thanks and praise. We bring before you those on our hearts and minds, our families and our friends, and all those named on our prayer list. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our own heart. We have not loved our own ears. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With a smile in our eyes, with a wave, a nod, an acknowledgement, we share together. The peace of the Lord be always with you. us pray. Gracious God, accept the offering of your church, the hearts of your people, joined in praise and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. Glory to you forever and ever. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation. Glory to you forever and ever. But we turn against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again, you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ. All honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. A reminder of our communion protocol during this time of pandemic. You will remain in your seats. I'll come to you to give you communion in one kind, the bread only. We tend to go up and down the aisles, always coming at you from in front rather than from behind, which sometimes can leave people a little startled. You are welcome to stand, sit, or kneel to receive communion, whichever is most comfortable for you. If you prefer to receive a blessing instead of communion, just cross your arms like this. We'll be happy to give you a blessing. And we also have gluten-free wafers if you need gluten-free. Just ask and we will make that happen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Greetings from Persian lands afar. To Jordan follow the pointing star. And this the quest of the travelers three, where the newborn king of the Jews may be. Full royal gifts they bear for the king, gold, incense, myrrh. Shines out with a steadfast ray. The kings to Bethlehem make their way, and then in worship they bend the
pray. God of all the nations of the earth, guide us with your light. Help us to recognize Christ as he comes to us in this Eucharist and in our neighbors. May we welcome him with love, for he is Lord now and forever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us, remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.
Truth and compassion always guide us. sweetie, a chance to bring us closer. May this be a year of selfless giving. May this be a year of peace.
And may we